Match day four saw goals aplenty and plenty of drama in the UEFA Champions League. Ronaldo looked to have won it for Juventus, but two late goals for Manchester United gave them another famous night in Turin.
It's curled in well. Fellaini was there. Oh, Chesney got in the way. It's been turned in. Has the goal been given? It has. In the 90th minute, Manchester United think they've won it.
Meanwhile, in the Czech Republic, despite a bright start, Plzeňa were blown away by holders Real Madrid, and a landmark goal for Karim Benzema.
Bale trying to make the cross when it comes, does so, nods it back for Benzema, who heads it in for 3-0. The holders almost out of sight already.
Whilst in our featured early kickoff, Roma had just enough to edge past 10-man Cska in Moscow.
And it broke very, very nicely for Pellegrini, who scores. It was a complete miscue on the edge of the penalty area, and he didn't need asking twice.
Elsewhere, there were wins for Bayern, Valencia and Manchester City. We'll hear from Raheem Sterling and Juan Mata on the show. Stay with us here on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live. Welcome to the show. I'm Rob Daly, and European football expert Andy Brassel is alongside me to dissect all of the night's results. Andy, so many places to start, and it's been another thrilling week of action in the Champions League.
Yeah, it really has been, and especially tonight, this Wednesday night, just a lot of twists and turns on the way. Some unexpected comebacks left, right and centre, and so much still open in terms of qualification.
Let's just quickly go through all of the results from Wednesday then. Group E, Benfica 1, Ajax 1, Bayern 2, Aik 0. Group F, Manchester City 6, Shakhtar 0, Lyon 2, Hoffenheim 2. Plenty to talk about there. In Group G, Cska 1, Roma 2, Plzeňa 0, Real Madrid 5. And in Group H, Valencia 3, Young Boys 1, Juventus 1, Manchester United 2. It's been a brilliant match day. What have been your sort of highlights from the past 48 hours?
Well, I think you have to start with Manchester United's comeback against Juventus. An absolutely tremendous effort in that regard. And, you know, a coach in Jose Mourinho, who's been written off by a lot of people in a Champions League context, despite his history in the competition, he'll be absolutely delighted with that. And Juventus, one of the favourites, something for them to think about.
By the way, there's also a previous podcast looking back at Tuesday's results, where we saw a win for Spurs against PSV, that 1-1 draw between Inter and Barcelona, and Liverpool's defeat at Savenna's Venta. But we start today's show in Turin, where Juventus would qualify for the last 16 if they only avoided defeat against Manchester United. Richard Connolly was your commentator.
Here's Ronaldo! Oh, what a goal! He struck a first-time volley into the net to beat David De Gea. Cristiano Ronaldo downs the club that shaped him with a wonderful right-footed volley. A straight ball over the top, and he hit it first time into the net like a rocket.
Juan Mata might take it. Ashley Young runs over it. Mata goes for the goal! He scored!
Juan Mata has equalised for Manchester United. A little floating free kick up and over the wall. And with 4 minutes to play, it might be a vital point for Manchester United.
United free kick, left-hand side, just in from the touchline. It's curled in well. Fellaini was there. Oh,
Chesney got in the way. It's been turned in. Has the goal been given? It has. Manchester United have turned it around. Pogba was in there. In the 90th minute, Manchester United think they've won it. This result has come from nowhere. It's Juventus 1, Manchester United 2.
Richard Connolly's just getting his bearings, so we'll speak to him in a moment. First, let's hear from one of Manchester United's goal scorers tonight, Juan Mata.
Yeah, what a nice last 5 minutes, let's say. It's a very, very good night for us to win here today, get the 3 points against Juventus in Italy. It's amazing, and you know, it was a very difficult game. They push a lot, they have fantastic players, they are a top team, but at the end, in the last two chances that we had, we score and we come back to Manchester with the 3 points, and that's football.
It is, and I think even Jose Mourinho will be scratching his head after that one. So Richard joins Andy and myself now. Richard, so Juventus had lots of chances to kill this game, and there is an element of, you know, that's part of the reason that they come away with nothing. They didn't take those chances.
Yep.
But what was interesting was, and it's been a compliment of Juve, is how well they manage games and how they can sit back and soak up pressure and see something out. And I just wonder if they just did that a bit too much, showed a bit too much respect to Manchester United in those closing stages, having dominated in Turin.
Well, there may be a bit of that, a subconscious switching off. The mood was certainly celebratory within the Juventus Stadium as we went into that last 5 minute spell, and it was noticeable there that Juan Mata said, yeah, it was a nice last 5 minutes, kind of implied that the previous 85 hadn't been so good, and I would go along with that. The thing about Juventus is that they have, I mean, I know Andy feels that they've played terrifically well at this stage of the season, given that they are working out how to play with new personnel and building towards March when they want to launch this triple assault and win their fifth consecutive domestic double, as well as making a meaningful effort to win the UEFA Champions League. But they have displayed occasional fragility. In the last three games in Serie A, I note, they've conceded goals against Genoa, Empoli and Cagliari, for example. Now, they've won two of those games and drew the game against Genoa. They hadn't lost a match since April coming in today. So these are only relatives. But they haven't won matches by streets. They haven't put these teams away in matches where they have been the better team. Now, tonight, Manchester United deserve an awful lot of credit because they kept on going. And recent fixtures where they have come from behind to win domestically, Newcastle, Bournemouth recently, have obviously given them a little bit more belief when they have been struggling to find it. And the personnel out there, added to by a couple of late changes, the finesse of Mata, who scored his first goal in the Champions League for over 3 years, and Fellaini, who was a far less complicated threat, but certainly his presence had a big impact in that last 10 minutes. That gave a bit of added impetus. The players who were out there delivered, and they had little bits of quality. The Mata free kick into the goal, the Young free kick that caused the chaos that I was barely able to describe in the last minute of the match. So, yeah, huge credit to Manchester United. I mean, I think Juventus are trying to manage games. They are. They can't be at 100% intensity all the way through until the latter stages of the season. But they've got vast experience. Alexis Sanchez played his 50th game in the Champions League tonight. Juventus have 10 more players with more experience than him, and Sanchez is the most experienced of the United players in this competition. So they will feel, do you know what, we've been in this position before, we should have seen it out, we have the wherewithal to do it, that's what we do, and we've let ourselves down with the chances they missed and with the concession of the two goals late on.
I mean, in the long run, when both of these teams get out of the group, which they will do now, I think. It's maybe not such a bad thing for Juventus. I think Massimiliano Allegri will look at that and think, maybe we got taught a bit of a lesson. Maybe we got taught that we may be good, we may be very, very good, but we need to tighten up. We need to be ruthless. And you associate Juventus with being ruthless, but they certainly weren't tonight. Now, I think enormous credit has to go to some of those Manchester United players. I thought Paul Pogba had a very, very good game, even though he had to use the defensive side of his game more than he would have liked to and more than he's used to for a huge part of that. But, you know, people can talk about Jose Mourinho upsetting people, but you know what, there is complete buy-in from those players. They may have their faults, but they're clearly all listening to him, they're clearly all pulling in the same direction. I thought Anthony Martial was outstanding again, and really in the last 15 minutes he was the player who pulled them back into the game, and he was the player who made things happen off that left-hand side. And especially when, you know, you look at the way that there was the reaction to that from Allegri, the way that he brought Basali on to try and gum that side up, it didn't work at all. Martial continued to be brilliant. Marcus Rashford came on and he gave something different for them to think about. You had the size of Fellaini, the pace of Rashford. So it kind of underlines the fact that the resource is there for Manchester United. It just all needs to start clicking a little bit better.
I mean, I did think that, I mean, the Juventus midfield was far superior to the Manchester United midfield,
yes,
tonight. I mean, the balance of it, the athleticism, the skill, the sharp passing, the knowledge of the angles, it's all there. I think the thing that really stood out to me, funnily enough, was the way that Juventus, when they lost possession, and Manchester United did have pace in the side with Martial, among others, and they looked to counter, how quickly Juventus, as a unit, were back into position. They are so disciplined and so athletic, so responsible, actually, that it is all the more stunning that they conceded those two late goals.
It's staggering as well that Marouane Fellaini can still come on in big games and have a big impact. For all the criticism he can get at times, he comes on and just can disrupt the energy, the flow, well, everything, and the rhythm of a game.
It's funny because we were saying within commentary, and I think we used these very words, that it was going to take something special to get past the Juventus defence. And Andy said, and I completely agreed with him, you know, you can't bludgeon your way through. You're going to have to try and find something, find some finesse. And yeah, they had the finesse with the delivery from both set pieces. But actually,
A bit of bludgeoning.
Yeah, he's big enough and difficult enough to handle that even defenders like Chiellini and Bonucci, and he was with Chiellini, I think, for the last free kick, find it very, very difficult. And at the very least, what he's going to do is take one of your big guns away from the ball and leave you undermanned in the area where the ball does end up, and that's exactly what happened at the end. That's why he's got more than 80 caps for Belgium, you know. I mean, he's a danger.
Every manager uses him every single time. Manchester United host Young Boys next on match day 5. Juve host Valencia. Juve top with 9 points. United 2 behind them. Valencia 2 behind them on 5 points. Young Boys on 1 point. And you think United and Juve are through now? Are going through?
Well,
anyway.
You'd think now Juventus and Manchester United with home wins both through match day 5. For Valencia, those last 5 minutes were a disaster.
Okay. To Group G now. And the holders, Real Madrid, headed to the Czech Republic to take on Plzeň. Commentary by Phil Blacker.
Just wide of the target, second drew a save from the goalkeeper. They advance here through Benzema. It's a really good run by Karim Benzema, and it is matched by the finish. Beats the goalkeeper, and Real Madrid, with 20 minutes played, are in front. Toni Kroos to take this corner, right-footed from the left-hand side. Hoists it high, towering header for 2-0. Casemiro meeting it, and Real Madrid score twice in a matter of minutes here. Bale trying to meet the cross when it comes, does so, nods it back for Benzema, who heads it in for 3-0. The holder's almost out of sight already. Cross cut in again towards Benzema, breaks for Bale, number 4 for Real Madrid. Gareth Bale gets his goal. Vinicius Junior advancing up towards the edge of the penalty area, slips it to his left for Toni Kroos, who tries to chip the goalkeeper, does so brilliantly. It is a wonderful composed finish from Kroos. It is 5-0 for Real Madrid.
And we can join Phil Blacker now. First Champions League game in charge for Santiago Solari, who's in interim charge, of course, Phil. And they were expected to win Real Madrid, but I suppose doing it with a swagger will help his cause to potentially getting the job on a long-term basis.
They did all they could do in that respect for him. It was a hugely impressive performance and dominant display for the most part. The scoreline doesn't necessarily tell the whole story, and indeed, Plzeña started very strongly. They hit the crossbar at 0-0 with an effort that deflected off Nacho, and they looked like they were causing Real Madrid real problems in the early stages. They're a bit shaky at the back with the holders, but the first goal from Benzema settled them down. It was his landmark 200th goal for the club. It was beautifully taken, all his own work. Weaved past a number of players in the penalty area before putting it through the legs of the goalkeeper. And the fact that they then scored the second just 2 minutes later really took the game away from Plzeña, that effort from Casemiro. And they repeated the trick later in the half. Two more goals in the space of 3 minutes. Benzema and Bale, importantly for him, having gone 7 games without a goal to get on the score sheet as well. Is it back across the goalkeeper and in? And it was only after that, really, a matter of how many in the second half. Only one further goal followed, but it was perhaps the pick of the bunch. Real Madrid took the opportunity late in the game to introduce some of the younger players from the bench, notably Vinicius Junior, the 18-year-old Brazilian who they paid big money for in the summer. The fans have been hoping to see more of him. He made an immediate impact, and he made the goal, actually, for Toni Kroos, but it was all about the finish. The ball was just a fraction behind the German. He was just able to check his run, took one little luck up, saw where the goalkeeper was, chipped it over him, perfectly weighted into the far corner. Sublime goal from Kroos, who was outstanding throughout the entire game. And Real Madrid very, very comfortable. They might have been more. Bale hit the bar deep into stoppage time, thudded off the angle of post and bar, actually. And Lucas Vazquez had one disallowed for offside, which was a very close call. So a very comfortable night for Real Madrid and for Santiago Solari. Maybe won't be necessarily judged on evenings such as this if he is to get the job on a permanent basis, or at least until the end of the season. But his side, as I say, and he as a coach on his debut in this competition, they couldn't have done much more in this one.
Phil, we talked about the style. Did we see a bit of resilience as well in that opening part of the game where Plzeña actually had some of the chances?
They did have chances. They were really up for this. They'd been the big build-up, of course, calling it the game of the century with the local press. And that was reflected in the way that they started. And Real Madrid did have to ride a bit of a storm in the early stages. There was a bit of fortune in there as well. They could have gone a goal to nil down on a couple of occasions, maybe inside the first quarter of an hour. But after that, I think they did find their shape. Pilsenia continued to push players forward, even at 4-0 down, pretty late on it in the second half when the game had gone. They were determined to give themselves something to remember this occasion by, to try and get a goal. They were pushing players forward. But yet they weren't creating clear-cut opportunities. And I think for that, the Real Madrid defence has to take a lot of credit. Thibaut Courtois only really called into action on a couple of occasions pretty early on in the second half. So as much as they'll be pleased with the five goals, just one short of their record away win, actually, in the Champions League, I think Santiago Solari will be equally pleased, if not more so, by the clean sheet that went with it.
The other match in Group G saw CSKA entertain Roma. Watching for Matchday Live was John Bradley.
There is the delivery, and it comes all the way through, and the header down and in, and it is a lead for Roma. The glancing header at the near post, and Eusebio Di Francesco celebrates, as do all the players. It was just a super, super leap. Wonderful header by Manolas, who met the ball. CSKA nil, Roma won. Akhmetov, and then he continues his run wide right and steps inside Fazio, and they've got five forward here. Now, can they find the pass? It is on towards Sigurdsson, goal! Brilliant comeback, brilliant response, and CSKA level things up 5 minutes into the second half. And it broke very, very nicely for Pellegrini, who scores. CSKA appeal for offside, but the flag doesn't come. It was a complete miscue on the edge of the penalty area that broke so kindly for Pellegrini, and he didn't need asking twice, slamming the ball under Akinfeev. CSKA Moskva 1, Roma 2.
That's how it stayed, and it sees Roma top of the group with 9 points, along with Real Madrid. CSKA on 4. Roma hosts Real Madrid on November the 27th. We're going to have commentary of that game on the show. Andy, very interesting now, and that looks like now that those two sides, it's between them to win the group, one of those sides, and that'll be a crucial game in the Italian capital.
Yeah, it really will be. And, of course, Rome's used to its big Champions League occasions from last season, and it gives Roma back a little bit of sense of self. They've had a difficult first couple of months of the season, but now these players, after taking a bit of a humbling on the first day at the Bernabeu, have played themselves back into the competition and look confident in it again.
In Group E, Bayern find themselves top with 10 points after a 2-0 win over Ajax. I felt, Andy, watching that game, that they weren't entirely convincing again. That there's something a little bit missing about their intricate final third play at the moment.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. There's not really that sort of pep and pace to them quite yet. But I thought Leon Goretzka was a useful pick tonight. He had a few good chances as well and was unlucky not to come away from a goal. And a few goals from Robert Lewandowski, who of course they're going to rely on so much if they're going to go much further in this competition.
Ajax second with 8 points, and they're in a good position now, Richard Connolly, to potentially get into the knockout stages. They knew a win tonight away at Benfica would see them through, but as someone who covers Dutch football, how big a leap forward is this for Ajax, what we've seen in the group stage this season?
Yeah, it's absolutely huge. It really is. I mean, the run to the Europa League final a couple of seasons ago was surprising, I think, to everybody. Even given the quality of the young players who inspired it, what we're seeing now is Ajax investing in a little experience in the shape of Tadic and Daley Blind, quite a lot of experience actually, and those players providing a framework in which the young players can also show their stuff. So it's Ajax modifying their approach a little bit.
Is it a good balance, do you think?
Well, I think it is. I think it has to be. And these are stunning results for the club and for Dutch football as a whole, and particularly for Ajax, given that they are already a fair bit behind PSV domestically, with PSV winning all their games. Real boon for them, and enormous credit, as we've said, to their coach Erik ten Hag, who's in the UEFA Champions League for the first time, and he's finding a system with Tadic as this false nine that seems to be causing teams problems, and they are competing for long stretches against teams with better recent pedigrees in this competition.
Bayern host Benfica next. Ajax go to Ike on match day 5. And in Group F, Manchester City join Barcelona in the round of 16 early, despite the fact they lost on match day 1. A 6-0 victory over Shakhtar Donetsk. Let's first of all hear from one of the goal scorers on the day, the England international, Raheem Sterling.
A good game. We knew how good they can play, how good they can counter-attack, and, you know, they're compact as well. So we knew it wasn't going to be no easy game because they're a team that's well organised. And I thought we'd done really, really well today and scored some great goals.
And his was the pick of the bunch, an outstanding goal from Raheem Sterling. A little bit of rotation from City tonight, and it looked relatively comfortable for them.
Yeah, and good for them that Gabriel Jesus, after a challenging summer and a challenging start to the season, and maybe an inversion of the pecking order up front for Manchester City, good for him to come in and get a hat-trick. Of course, they've got the Manchester derby at the weekend, which I'm sure they've got an eye on that. But, you know, hearing Raheem Sterling there, he's absolutely right. You know, Shakhtar are respected in the UEFA Champions League. They come in and do something every season. And Manchester City had a lot of difficulty with them last season. Not only out in Kharkiv, but in the first game at the City of Manchester Stadium as well. So I think it shows how much City have progressed, the way they managed to break away in this game.
And it just alleviates the pressure a little bit in terms of Premier League football as well. They can rotate a little bit in the Champions League. They go to Lyon next, while Hoffenheim face Shakhtar. Hoffenheim stay alive somehow, Andy. With two goals, they were down to 10 men against Lyon. They pulled it back. And I kept watching you. You were pained watching Lyon's defending at times, and they'll see that as 4 points dropped over the two games with Hoffenheim. Surely
they will. I mean, they've conceded two stoppage time equalisers in those two games, but especially tonight, 2-0 up and a man up. I don't really think you can blame the coach. He continued to make attacking substitutions as the game went on to freshen it up, to bring off Fekir, who was excellent, I thought, and Memphis. But still can't really find that security at the back. And of course, they've got to play Manchester City next time out. Yeah. So they will hope that Manchester City rest a few, though even when they do, it doesn't make a difference.
Lyon host City on match day 5. It's Hoffenheim Shakhtar. But the story of the night belongs to Manchester United with that 2-1 win at Juventus. Let's hear from Jose Mourinho.
The game was a very good game, high-level game. It doesn't matter at the end. The game was really top. I think we performed at a high level. After that goal, we had like 5 minutes to wake up again. But the team was there since the first minute until the last.
20 seconds for you, Richard Connolly, man of the match from Juventus United. That's not easy.
No, it really isn't. Ronaldo scored a really, really great goal tonight. We should give that the mention it deserves. De Gea made a couple of outstanding saves without which the victory would not have been possible. Bentancur was excellent in the midfield, I thought, for Juventus. But Martial caused the chaos from which the free kicks came at the end, and he was United's best attacking player.
I like it. Thank you very much, Richard, Andy and Phil on the show tonight. We're out of time on Matchday Live, but what an intriguing night of group stage action it has been. Of course, Manchester United, the main story with that late win, two goals at Juventus, Valencia beating Young Boys earlier. In Group G, Real Madrid, their first game in the Champions League under Solari, 5-0 win at Pilsenia. In Group E, not entirely convincing, but Bayern got the job done. They're on the brink of the round of 16, which Manchester City have already qualified for with their 6-0 win over Shakhtar Donetsk. They join Barcelona in the next stage. On Tuesday, of course, wins for Atletico, Spurs, Savanes Fedza, Club Brugge, Schalke and Porto. Join us again on Tuesday the 27th and Wednesday the 28th of November with another action-packed week. We have Paris versus Liverpool and Roma versus Real Madrid. And you can download all our podcasts as well. But for now, from all of us on Matchday Live, it's goodbye.
And it broke very, very nicely for Pellegrini, who scores. Šiška, appeal for offside, but the flag doesn't come. It was a complete miscue on the edge of the penalty area that broke so kindly for Pellegrini, and he didn't need asking twice, slamming the ball under Akinfeev. Šiška Moskva 1, Roma 2.
Vinicius Junior advancing up towards the edge of the penalty area, slips it to his left for Toni Kroos, who tries to chip the goalkeeper, does so brilliantly. It is a wonderful, composed finish from Kroos. It is 5-0 for Real Madrid.
It's curled in well. Fellaini was there. Oh, Szczesny got in the way. It's been turned in. Has the goal been given? It has. In the 90th minute, Manchester United think they've won it. This result has come from nowhere. Another great victory in Turin, perhaps, for Manchester United. It's Juventus 1, Manchester United 2.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.